How about subsequent visits to Suzuki Roshi?
There are only two that I can remember.
Tassajara was the first. What was the second, Sam?
Didn't we do Tassajara twice?
Could have been.
I think we did Tassajara twice.
Yeah, yeah.
And Zen Center one time. And then the funeral. The funeral was one of the most interesting ones.
Okay.
I wasn't alone.
No, there was only Henry Schaefer and myself were Rinpoche's attendants to the funeral. And he really wanted to keep a low-key presence at the funeral. And Rinpoche was saddened and melancholy and disturbed. It was hard to know what he was disturbed about. We went to Zen Center, and, you know, it was like a big deal. And there were, you know, like hundreds of people, you know, and mainly Suzuki Roshi's students, but also sort of San Francisco type people, and, you know, and all that's, you know, in a whole scene like that. And when we got there, they sent Rinpoche and us back to where the Zen Center priests were. And they were all getting dressed in their priest things. And then, you know, Rinpoche looked around and he didn't want to be in that room. So he said, let's get out of here. So we walked out of Zen Center and we went down to this unbelievably funky little, tiny little Chinese restaurant about half the size of this this room. And Rinpoche ordered tea for us. And he started telling us that he was upset by what Suzuki Roshi had to do in his last days. He was upset that Suzuki Roshi had to appoint his successor so soon before his dying that he couldn't train the person properly and that people couldn't get used to the person being his successor and so on. And he decided right then and there he wasn't, there's no way he was going to do it that way. He was going to choose his successor soon. And by that time he hadn't decided on Thomas Birch as his successor. Maybe this was the, but again, who knows? Maybe this was the point where he got serious about how he was going to do it. But he described what he was going to do, which was basically he was going to choose his successor, train his successor. Then at a certain point, he would, I don't know if he used the word retire or recede or something, he would get out of the way. I think he said get out of the way. And then just watch. And then he would die, pass away a few years after he was done watching. And then, for reasons I have no idea, he changed the subject to Buddha Maitreya. And he told this, he told that in the future, after the time of the Buddha, that the Buddha's teachings would wane completely, and a Maitreya would come that would present a Dharma, but that Dharma would be a false Dharma, and that X number of people would believe that Maitreya was real and would follow that Dharma, and they would be deluded because the Dharma was not a true Dharma. And then he said, sometime after that time, a second Maitreya would appear, and that Maitreya would be the real Maitreya, and that the Dharma of that Maitreya would be the genuine Dharma. And I remember this because it was such a weird thing that Rinpoche said. And he said, then the believers of the false Maitreya would become the matter of the enlightenment of the real Maitreya. And I have no idea what Rinpoche was talking about.
Become the matter.
The matter of the enlightenment of the real Maitreya. And then the world as we know it would come to an end. And we finished our tea, and we went back to Zen Center. And by this time, there was a I think a huge processional to pay respect to Suzuki Roshi, and you know, so we came back in, and you know, it was utter chaos in the place, and there's this huge line, and Mrs. Suzuki came, I mean, literally like this, you know, running over and grabbed from Chan and his retinue, and you know, put him in the line, and then she ran off to her room, which was also Suzuki Roshi's room, and brought back Suzuki Roshi's walking stick. And I think Rinpoche then paid respects to Suzuki Roshi's body, and then after that, Mrs. Suzuki pulled him aside and gave him this walking stick and said, Suzuki Roshi wanted you to have this. She was weeping, you know. So was he. So are we.
Right? Yeah.
And then he turned to us and said, let's get the hell out of here. And that was that.
Wow.
Yeah. For days thereafter, he held that stick in his hand. Yeah. Do you remember that? He looked at it, walked with it, you know.
You are listening to Teaching Stories on Chronicles Radio, a production of the Chronicles of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche. Support for Chronicles Radio comes from our listening audience. To contribute, visit chroniclesradio.com and click on Support This Work. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to Chronicles Radio.